It is the third day of the week, and corn futures are already 30 cents off the lows of the week. And at the highs of the day, November beans were 44 cents above Monday's low at the highs. It's a heck of a recovery, even on a day when growers are making some of the most aggressive planting progress of the year.
From the studios of Farm Journal, this is AgriTalk.
Hey, welcome to AgriTalk, everybody, and hold on right there, okay? It is the most aggressive planting day of the year, but that doesn't mean that the corn crop is going to get planted today. There is still a long, long, long ways to go. May not even get to half planted by the time it starts to rain again, which here in the Midwest looks like it's going to be tomorrow morning. And bean planting, I mean, come on. Bean planting progress could be close to nothing, nothing this week with growers focused on getting corn planted in front of the crop insurance last plant date. We're going to be talking land values today with Doug Hensley. Doug is the president of the real estate division at Hertz Farm Management. And we've got a farmer forum. It's Wednesday. We've got Jared McDaniel from Oklahoma and Rock Ketchnig from Illinois. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is taking the day off, which means that I get to talk to Clinton Griffiths. Clinton, how are you?
What's back in the saddle.
I said, does it feel good?
It does. I said a minute ago, I feel like Chris Bryant just found a baseball bat again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Found a baseball bat and beach balls to hit.
No kidding.
The way he's seeing the ball right now.
Guy's on fire. En fuego, as we say, Chip.
En fuego. I love it. How you been?
You know, not bad. Good. There's been some news going on, which is nice, considering, you know, that's my profession and all. So there's it's something to talk about.
Yes, it is.
Speaking
yes,
about in fuego. So, you know, it sounds to me like from your intro, we're saved. Right? We got one whole day of planning in, and prices are up.
Yeah.
Let's just start marking the vacations on the calendar, right?
Yeah, you know.
Crops made.
Oh, boy, I tell you, pay attention here, folks. You've got the July 2020 contract bumping up against 415, 420 area. Dece 19 is into the 395. Heck, even the July contract, the front month contract in corn is trading at 377 here this morning. So there are some opportunities. I'm not going to call them great opportunities, but there are some opportunities being offered by the markets.
Look better than it did a few days ago. Hey, and, you know, what's interesting, Chip, and we had this on the show this morning, is that, you know, in a day, or here now we're 2 days, we've gained back half or more of what we lost over the last four or five months or so.
Right. And that's why when you see the kind of move that we've gotten at this time of the year. This is the kind of move that is typically reserved for June. Okay, you got to flip that calendar over to June. That's what we've been saying all along. But Joe Vaklavic from Standard Grain was on the show yesterday, made a great point, and it's really the forecast. It's not just the planting progress as of May 12 being so dreadfully slow. It is the combination of that with the forecast that we've got for all this rain over the next several days. It just looks wet,
right?
Wet.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Start of the week, saw some numbers put out by the Bill Biederman and the group there, saying that, you know, at 70% of corn yet to be planted, if you're looking at a 15 billion bushel crop this year, which is what USDA is saying, you've still got 7.9 billion bushels of that yet to be planted.
Right.
Has not even been in the ground. 91% of soybeans still not planted. So we got a ways to go. Hey, let's get to a couple news things before we run out of time. President Trump continuing to sound optimistic about reaching that trade deal with China, even as his administration talks about raising those tariffs to 25% on all remaining Chinese imports. Taking to Twitter again this week, quote, "Our great patriot farmers will be one of the biggest beneficiaries of what is happening now. Hopefully China will do us the honor of continuing to buy our great farm product, the best. But if not, your country will be making up the difference based on very high Chinese buys." But Chip, I think everybody wants to know, what does that mean? What kind of relief are we looking at? USDA Trade Undersecretary Ted McKinney says details are coming out in days, not weeks, not months. And it's they're looking at an all-of-the-above approach. Went on to say the department's still finalizing those details. American Farm Bureau's Dave Salmonson says expect something similar to the market facilitation program from 2018.
You would think that the easiest thing to do is basically build on what's been done, some sort of an aid directly to producers. Also, part of that package was do more market development, buy commodities for the food pantries and all of that. The president added an additional component of bringing up the issue of international humanitarian assistance. You know, we have programs for that. I'm sure USDA and the U.S. Agency for International Development, which also runs those programs, can look at that and see what more they can do.
Bacon, back on the CME chip, announced that it's going to start publishing that new CME Fresh Bacon Index. And African swine fever, to tie those two things together, continuing to spread. Government officials in Vietnam say the country's culled more than 1.2 million pigs affected with ASF, also still spreading in South Africa, Chip.
Good stuff, Clinton. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, let's turn it over to AgPro editor Margie
Eckelton. He's the certified crop advisor and specialty product coordinator at Wabash Valley FS. Mike, welcome to AgriTalk. First, tell us a little bit about the geography that you serve and how the growing season is going so far.
Right here, we're in southeastern Illinois, right along the Wabash River is Wabash Valley. We run from Shawneetown north to just north of Hidalgo. We're in 10 counties in southeastern Illinois, and we go from the Wabash River west about 60 miles, and then we also filter into Indiana and somewhat into Kentucky. And it has just been a struggle this spring. We've been so wet, so cold, so miserable. It's just not been a very fun spring. And this is my 44th spring with a vested interest in getting a crop planted. And this is probably in my top 10 least favorites so far.
Oh, I hate to hear that, Mike. Now, at the upcoming Sustainable Agronomy Conference, you're going to be talking about communicating sustainability with farmers. And tell me a little bit about your experience in doing that. Obviously, you've got decades of experience in partnering with farmers.
What we try to do with farmers, especially with sustainability, is to explain to them that they are part of that sustainability equation. What we do with sustainability is not just to ensure a plentiful and safe food supply for our communities and for our public, but also to make sure that those that are charged with producing that food, fiber, and fuel are sustained on that land, that we can keep them there and keep them viable with good agronomic advice from a good qualified certified crop advisor.
And what agronomic practices or even products have you found as a best fit in helping farmers on this sustainability journey?
That's a really good question, Margie, and I'll tell you, the biggest problem is we try to put a blanket on that, and it is as specific as not only by geography, because down here in southeastern Illinois, we're a whole lot different than the northern prairie, but we've been using basic 4R practices here in our geography for about the last 20-plus years. What we're trying to do is we're trying to not only use the 4Rs on the old N, P, and K like we have since I started out, but we're starting to look at all the essential nutrients and how, in combinations and at timing and at different times, different product, right rate, right time, right product, right place, that we use those 4Rs to get what we need where we need it and keep the farmer sustainable with a positive return on investment, keep them profitable, but also look towards soil health and water quality and how we protect the environment using the 4Rs.
Thank you, Mike. I wish you all there a very safe and productive season. And if folks want to learn more about the Sustainable Agronomy Conference, visit us at agprofessional.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Margie. Up next, we've got Doug Hensley from Hertz Farm Management in the bottom of the hour. Those great patriot farmers, Jared McDaniel and Rod Ketchney. Central Life Sciences reminds you to get control of flies on your swine operation with Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. Clarifly Larvicide prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from animal manure by as much as 96%, and Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that tackle your fly problem. Flies spread disease, impact your neighbors, and interfere with swine weight gain. Visit centralflycontrol.com. That's three words, centralflycontrol.com.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Every season, you try to raise the bar to achieve your best corn yield ever. But disease can stand in the way, like gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, anthracnose leaf blight, and southern rust. New Dilaro fungicide can stop them. Two different modes of action work on the diseases for the entire spray interval, delivering best-in-class dual mode of action residual efficacy for extended performance. It's the help you need for personal best yields. Keep raising the bar with Dilaro from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erased generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast that's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Give us a call today. It's 855-4TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, and when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Let's talk land values. We've got Doug Hensley. He runs the real estate division for Hertz Farm Management out of Nevada, Iowa. He joins us right now. Doug, welcome to AgriTalk. How you doing?
How's it going this morning, Chip? Boy, I'm doing great. I'm actually in Ames, Iowa, and on a beautiful Midwestern spring day. It's just perfect today. Hopefully it's going to dry things out a little bit for folks.
Right, right. And hopefully some guys are out and rolling already this morning because, you know, it's going to be an aggressive day across some areas of the Midwest, not all of them. Be careful out there, guys. And yes, there is rain coming. I know it, but we talked about it yesterday, Doug. You got to put safety first out there and today feels like a dangerous day to me. Guys need to be careful.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Every time when we feel like we get our back against the wall with the calendar a little bit, it's easy to cut corners. Yeah. So you're exactly right. We got to pay attention and make sure we do things the right way.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, Doug is down there at the Iowa State University Soil Management and Land Value Conference. You learning anything, Doug?
You know, a little bit. Had an interesting presentation from a chief economist with American Farm Bureau talking, imagine that they're talking about trade. That doesn't surprise you, I'm sure.
Right.
So we had a good discussion about that here a little bit. I had to step out because I wanted to come talk to you, so I didn't get to hear all of it. But yeah, I think there's a lot of angst in that room, actually, with all the, there's lots of motion going on right now, Chip.
Yeah.
In a lot of different places, in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, there certainly is, no question about it. Okay, I want to talk land values before we get to some of the other things that might be happening down there in Ames, Doug. And last week, the Chicago Fed, the 7th Federal Reserve District, said that in the first quarter of 2019, land values were largely the same as a year ago. The values for good agricultural land in the first quarter of 2019 were 1% higher than in the fourth quarter of 2018. Right. So steady firm, huh?
Yeah, I feel like we've been really steady firm. And the quarterly numbers are something that I watch, but I really look at the annual numbers maybe a little more closely, because the quarterly numbers can, you know, this is a survey, and people's attitude from one sale to the next can really influence things on these quarterly things. And, you know, you look at the annual number April to April, and it's flat. And I still, even the quarterly number at 1% higher for good farmland, I consider that a flat market. And unless we get more than 1 or 2% either weaker or stronger, I feel like we're in a flat market. And I think in large part of the reason, you know, I get people asking me all the time, Doug, why isn't this land market responding, you know, with weaker values, because things are so tight out here in the countryside? And I think part of it, a big part of it, comes down to the fact that there's just so few farms for sale. And, you know, I describe it this way to a lot of people. Think of the home area, wherever home is for you, and think of a good farm when it comes on the market. There are usually 3, 4, maybe a half a dozen different local farming families in every locale across the Midwest that can participate in chasing an 80 or a quarter section that comes up, especially if it's a good one that people are interested in. And, you know, if it's a good one for the area, there'll be a half a dozen local buyers that are healthy and wealthy enough to pursue that. And we just see so few farms for sale that when that farm does come, those people all are competing for it. And that's part of what is keeping values where they are today, in my view. That's a big part of it. Not to mention, you add in an investor or two to a public auction, or just the opportunity to buy a farm privately. And, you know, the chemistry is for the land market is still steady strong, as far as I see it.
Yeah. Now, the investors are there, but farmers are still the primary buyers, right?
No doubt about it. And you can look at the various states and the different surveys that they have, but depending on where you're at, it'll range from 7 out of every 10 farms is bought by a farmer, to here in the state of Iowa, it's closer to 8 out of every 10 farms is bought by a local farmer. So, yeah, lion's share of farms are still being purchased by farmers. What those surveys that show, you know, who's buying what they don't show as clearly is the competitive nature of the market that investors may bring to some of those situations.
Right.
That a farmer may be the ultimate buyer, but they may have been pushed by an investor to get it done. And so, yeah, the farmers are still buying the lion's share.
Yeah, what's the deal with the investors coming in on this market? Aren't there better alternatives for that investment dollar?
Yeah, great question. And that gets back to the motives of the investor, because in a lot of cases, and I think a lot of your audience is going to be familiar with Section 1031 of the Internal Revenue Code, they've heard of tax-deferred exchanges before. And depending on where you are in the Midwest, there's still a fair amount of economic development and growth that is out there. And you can look at it, you know, up the, you know, from Iowa City to Cedar Rapids and up to Waterloo, over in Des Moines, Quad Cities, in certain corners of the Illinois market, maybe a little less so. But what people are doing, and an example of this last year, or in the last 12 to 18 months, for example, Apple Computer bought 2,100 contiguous acres, give or take, just west of Des Moines, Iowa. And they paid in excess of $40,000 an acre for those 2,100 acres. And, you know, for those farm families that maybe had a quarter section that was in that 2,100 contiguous acres, they're experiencing a large capital gain when they are selling something. You know, it's farmland that's being sold for $30,000 or $40,000 an acre. So in order to defer paying those capital gains, they're going out into the more rural countryside and reinvesting those dollars. And sometimes they're trading what they sold for $40,000, and they're going out and buying 4 or 5 acres elsewhere for a lesser purchase price on a per acre basis. And so we think of those people as, you know, those are investors. Those are people who are not going to be necessarily farming those acres more often than not. So
Doug, when that phone call comes in to you from somebody that just sold some acres to Apple, they might call up and say, listen, I just sold 40, but I need to buy 120.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it has a multiplier effect. That's exactly right. And often the 40 to the 120, you know, that's a 3-for-1 trade. In some of these situations, people are selling these development, these properties for development, and they're getting 5 or 6-for-1, depending on where they're going out in the more rural areas. The further away from development that you get, typically, the more acres you're going to be able to buy. There's some exceptions to that, but by and large, that's what's happening. Now, on the other side of it, I think the pure investor that isn't motivated by tax-deferred exchange or a 1031 needing to defer capital gains, the person who just looks at a farm as a pure investment, I think a lot of those folks, and we have a handful of those people that we're working with right now, they're saying, you know what, I'm just a little nervous about our overall economy. We're at, you know, the Dow's at 26,000. We've had a really nice run-up. Maybe I'm going to take some winnings off the table there and diversify more my portfolio a little bit. We have a client right now that's doing that exact thing. They're from Boston. They are very heavily invested in paper assets, as I call them, stocks, bonds, and things like that. And they're saying, you know what, I would like to have a little diversity in what I own. Let's go find an 80 or a quarter section in central Illinois or central Iowa, and that will just diversify what I own, and will take a little bit of the risk from my portfolio off the table. And that's a real thing that's happening with people. And you're right, it doesn't have the sexy appeal of some fancy investments, but boy, anybody knows anything about farmland sure knows that it's been a consistent winner over time. And, you know, the 30 years from now, I think the expectation from anybody you talk to is that farm is going to be worth more in 30 years than it is today. Plus, you're going to enjoy the coupon on an annual basis between now and then.
Right. Literally 10 seconds. The call, steady firm again.
Steady firm. If we could get some positive news in this grain market, I think that would trickle its way into the land market as well.
Good stuff, Doug. Thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Chip. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
That is Doug Hensley. He is the president of the real estate division for Hertz Farm Management. Farmer Forum next. We spoke with Kerry Grossweiler, marketing lead for seed treatments with BASF, about Panchovotivo 2.0.
2018 was a great year for us, not only in our own internal trials, but also with our seed company partners and growers last year. So they got to see the early emergence benefits, the increased height, fuller leaves, and then ultimately at harvest time, they saw the yield benefits, which is a real challenge when you're growing 250 bushel corn these days. 2019 shaping up really nice for us because we've had some seed companies go ahead and adopt this technology and are putting it on their seed. So growers are going to, across the Midwest, have the opportunity to buy their corn seed with Panchovotivo 2.0 and experience that for themselves on their farms. We continue to do trials and demo the product, and we're just encouraging growers to go in and ask for it from their seed dealer or retailer.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. And Brian, I don't even know if I want to talk about it because I don't want to jinx it, but we got a heck of a rally going on in these grains.
Yeah, we're going to knock on wood here first, Chip, and then, you know, we're going to talk about this continuation of the funds that are covering shorts and record shorts. So we knew that this was a possibility. But after just weeks and weeks of watching prices slide, it got to the point where he felt like it would never come, and now it's here. Now the key is how far can we extend it? Can we continue to clear these key technical hurdles? And you know, this all goes back to, we talked about yesterday, but it goes back to Monday's price action where we saw the key bullish reversal in corn. Then USDA comes out with the very low plantings number that was even lower than what the market anticipated. And that's what sparked the funds to cover short positions in the corn market.
Yeah, you know, it's not a question of whether they were going to cover. It was whether or not they were going to be able to sneak out of those positions without getting a rally. At least we've got the rally now. And like I said at the start of the show, guys, pay attention here because there are some opportunities. Not great opportunities, but there are opportunities in the markets right now. Livestock markets all moving to the upside.
Yeah, the hog market, I think that obviously that one got beat down on the China stuff, and it's kind of been a huge roller coaster in there with extreme volatility over the past couple months. But we're on an upswing now, so ride that one out, and you know, as long as we can here. The cattle market, that one's been a little bit more difficult because it's just been a price slide, but we are seeing some corrective buying this morning.
Yeah, very good, and that is good to see in that cattle trade. Thank you, Brian. That is Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Ashley, I can't believe you played music like this. I mean, now we got to wait for both Jared and Rock to sit down because you know they're dancing. They got to be. All right, let's get this Farmer Forum started. Bring in Jared McDaniel from Oklahoma. Jared, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Chip?
I'm doing well. Geez, we haven't talked for a while. Everything going okay down there?
Yeah, it's scary how good things are going. I hate to even talk about it because I know everybody else is having a rough spring, but it's been beautiful weather here. And, you know, we've had rain, we've had sun, we've had everything we needed to. So it's great.
Yeah, and your planting progress looks like it's moving right along down there as well.
It is. We've had some moisture and we've had nice sun and should have for the next 10 days. So we will get a lot planted, but I'm just kind of a little pocket. I'm the odd man out as usual, but on the good side.
Yeah. Now Jared's right there in the panhandle of Oklahoma, and tell us about your operation.
We basically run cow-calf operation. You know, we stay pretty busy, mostly corn, some wheat. I don't know why we plant wheat, but we did again this year, you know, glutton for punishment, I guess.
Yeah.
Just a normal farm ranch.
Yep. Yep. And things are looking pretty doggone good. I mean, unusually good right now, isn't it?
It is. It really is. The wheat looks decent. You know, we need a couple more rains to finish it out. Corn planting is going awesome. You know, it should emerge in a couple of days. And so you know, the markets could be better, although you can't complain too much because we've had a nice rally in corn. And if we could just turn the cattle around a little bit, we'd be everything, you know, all aces right then.
All right. Well, we better get Rock in here because listening to your growing conditions down there is probably pushing Rock closer and closer to the ledge because he hasn't been dealing with stuff too good up there. Rock Ketchnig up in northern Illinois. Rock, welcome to the show, but it's about as bad as you've ever seen it, isn't it?
This is a first in my 43 years of farming, Chip. I don't care if you live to be 98 years old. You learn something in this game every year. And May 15th, I've never seen it this wet. We haven't even been able to plant sand since April 25th. We finally got back in on some high spots yesterday. We have fields with irrigators on them that there's water standing all the way across fields in low spots. I've never seen anything like it.
And it's not just your area of Illinois, isn't it? I know that you've got buddies all up and down from north to south in Illinois and all the way over to Ohio. It's a tough situation, isn't it?
It is. You know, 1993 was a tough year for us. The way we're here, so dependent on our drainage system. It's a trickle-down effect. The Mississippi's full, the Rock River's full, the Green River's full, our local ditches are full, and backs up on us. And I've seen years where we can't even turn a wheel, and other people, you know, record crops. But the only, I guess, good thing you might say is there's so many of us all in this boat together that Mother Nature is sure going to handle this surplus situation this year with one growing crop year.
Wow.
We're planting today, but we go up to a lake, and we cut a U-turn and come back, and then we go till we can go all the way through. And we can plant a couple more days high spots, and then after that, it's hard telling how long we're going to be parked. And one more big rain event, and that will seal the deal. We'll be done, and we'll be looking at preventive plant acres. Well, yeah. We know we're looking at quite a few of those right now, but it just depends on how long we see this sun and heat.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Rock, June 5th, is that your last plant date on corn?
It is. It is. And we've really been staying close with our crop insurance agent to make sure. Now, this doesn't sound right. To make sure that we don't overplant. The rule to qualify for prevented plant is 20 acres or 20% of that unit.
Yep.
So if you overplant and you only leave 10% or less than 20 acres on that unit, you're just pretty much hung out to dry. If those acres stay so wet the rest of the year, you can't get on them.
Right.
Now, I found out something else pretty interesting this morning that kind of excites you and I. We're allowed to plant food plots on those prevented plant acres. And I just found out that does not include corn or soybeans, but it can be oats, wheat, of course, your radishes and turnips later summer. So that's a little reassuring along some of these acres where you hunt. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a tale of two different worlds when we're talking about planting conditions that Jared are looking at and what Rock is dealing with. I want to go on to the trade happenings this week. And you know, you've got President Trump. Jared, when you hear him say things like, our great patriot farmers, we're going to look out for you guys. We love you guys. What's it do to your attitudes?
Well, to me, it just sounds like propaganda. I mean, it's kind of creepy in that the government, or maybe that our president has to label us this certain way, certain thing, and then to also kind of go forward with, hey, we're gonna give you guys some money. It's a bailout. It's almost like, look, we know we did something wrong or something is affecting you. So here's some money. You just kind of go over there in the corner and be quiet about it. That's kind of my opinion about what happened or what is happening.
Yeah. You know, and Rock, what he's saying is it's kind of like hush money when you get right down to it.
Well, you know, look what he already did for us in last year's soybean crop. I kind of like what he's doing, but it's a matter of just, I don't know how long I can stand it.
Yep.
But, you know, he has mentioned the term farmer in his speeches many more times than a lot of presidents I can recall.
Definitely. Definitely. There is no question. Well, he understands, Jared, he understands what got him elected, and it was rural America over the left and right coast of this country that got him elected. So he knows that farmers are opinion leaders out in the middle of the country, right?
Well, I mean, I think that...
Let's go with Jared first.
I think that he believes that, but if you just look at the sheer numbers, there's not a lot of farmers. So, I mean, it's great that he's looking at us, considering it, but at the end of the day, I feel like a little bit maybe that farming and has been used as a pawn for manufacturing jobs in the Midwest or Rust Belt. I mean, that's really, I think, what he's going for is those manufacturing base, but maybe at the expense of farmers. And I may be way off on that. So it's just my opinion.
Well, I don't think you are way off on it, Jared. And I think that right there is exactly why there is, or it appears that there is another payment, tariff-type payment coming out, Rock. I mean, it is compensation for having to take the beating.
That is, and that's also incentive that to plant these acres, don't give up, and keep your planter rolling because that's obviously going to be tied to harvested bushels. So don't give up on a field, I guess. Get as much in as you can. You know, it's not fun digging the mud out of a planter, and done that many, many times. But, yeah, it's any payment's going to be tied to direct harvested bushels.
Well, you know what? I don't think that's been decided yet because, you know, the MFP, that's the way it was. But I don't know if we make the assumption that it's going to be based on the same thing going forward or not in here, guys. But Rock, you're exactly right. It's a better safe than sorry situation here, and you get out and you get as many of those acres planted as you can, right?
And my advice to end users on corn was really buy all your needs last Monday. Because with this situation is so widespread over so many states, it's hard telling where we could see the price of corn go.
Right. 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 Right.
That's,
I mean,
that's great news. That's great news for where we could plant.
That's right. That's right. Jared, let's say that you had 10 minutes of you and President Trump in one room. You got it to yourself. What are you telling him?
Well, as the Secret Service is probably dragging me out because he shouldn't be in a room with this guy. I'd say, look, man, it's to me, it's sending conflicting signals with the whole, you know, we're gonna pay you guys to now maybe, I mean, just like what you guys just talked about, hey, the market is telling you we don't need soybeans, we don't need this, we don't need that. That's the current market signal. Well, now we're getting conflicting messages by, well, we'll pay you, but make sure you go ahead and plant. So all these steps that are going on are creating just a mountain of confusion to me as far as the markets are concerned. And I'd say, like, hurry up, man, and get done with whatever you're going to do. I understand it's necessary and we need to hold China accountable, but you know, at the same time, do we really want to be where all of our eggs are in one basket? Like, we're so dependent on getting that China trade. Like, if they broke up with us, let's go to a different dance. Let's go see what we can do other places. I mean, we don't have to just sit there and do this over and over because we end up with basically their foot on our neck collectively.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I tell him.
All right. Rock, you get the same room for 10 minutes now.
Well, yes. Rural America, small-town America is suffering all the way from the farmer to the implement dealers to the fertilizer suppliers, you name it. But we have to look at why he is doing what he is doing. Mm-hmm. The theft of intellectual property, the seeds that got dug up and snuck back, the security to our country, you know, with that, we have to look at why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
And hope all we can do is hope that this thing gets resolved quickly. And it's sure having an effect on us out here. But, again, I have to look at why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah. You know, and that right there, I think, kind of sums up everybody's attitude around farm country, or a lot of people's attitudes around farm country. And if you're looking for why President Trump might say we're going out and supporting our great patriot farmers, it's that kind of an attitude right there. There's no question about it. Okay, when we come back, let's talk to Sonny Perdue now at USDA and figure out exactly what that payment program might look like. We'll do that next on the Farmer Forum.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
The premier Farm Journal Hemp College is coming to Lexington, Kentucky on June 19th. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your questions. Register for Farm Journal Hemp College at regonline.com/hempcollege.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand tractor filter. You know, the one they're practically giving away at the farm store. So a lot of people choose me to filter their precious oil, fuel, or air, but I don't work as hard as your tractor's OEM filter. I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components, so dust and contaminants, they're your problem, brah.
Off-brand filters are not John Deere filters. OEM filters are engineered for maximum performance in your John Deere machine. Don't risk it with anything less.
Central Life Sciences reminds you to get control of flies on your swine operation with Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. Clarifly Larvicide prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from animal manure by as much as 96%, and Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that tackle your fly problem. Flies spread disease, impact your neighbors, and interfere with swine weight gain. Visit centralflycontrol.com. That's three words, centralflycontrol.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
Radiate is designed to help crops build longer, stronger, healthier root systems. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go to RadiateRoots.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. There's still time to pick up the phone. Give us a call. It's 855-482-5524. Or you can tweet at us and include in the tweet hashtag AgriTalk so that I will be sure to see it. We got a tweet from at AdamLash1 earlier that I'm going to address in the second hour of AgriTalk today. It's about land values and how a young guy can compete. Hey, Jared, I was going to ask you, how's the podcast going?
It's going great. I actually did one this morning with Damian Mason. That should be out next week sometime. And it's going good. You know, it's hard to keep it all put together and keep farm work done and keep family and kids where they need to be. But, you know,
right.
It's anything worth doing doesn't come easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've listened to I haven't listened to them all, but I've listened to some of them. And Jared, they're fun to listen to. They are, you know, the last one was with Ben was a little difficult to listen to, but we're talking about mental health, right?
You bet. Yeah, and I think that's important this year because, you know, he's not the only one. Everybody's kind of at right. The end of their wits. And, I mean, I really do feel bad saying how nice it is here because I know there's so many people that are in, you know, the prices aren't good and then you can't plant it. I mean, there's so many things happening right now that you kind of want to just close the door, go inside and be done with it. But, right. You know, that's not an option.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So it's Ag Uncensored, correct?
You bet. Yeah. All one word. It's just a made-up word. I don't think that's actually a word. I just kind of made it up. And you can Google that or, you know, check it out on anywhere
out,
you get podcasts. But thank you.
You bet. Rock, okay. Now, I was looking at my notes, and you were talking about the next tariff relief package for farmers and said that it may be based on actual production again in 2019. I kind of cut you off there and said, now, wait, we don't know all the details. Have you seen something or heard something there, Rock?
I have not, Chip. Okay. I'm just being cautious. I would like to think it would be farm-wide, but to be safe, if it's planted, harvested bushels, you better have your bases covered there and keep your planter rolling.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that's how it should go, how it should be built?
Well, it's incentive to try.
It is.
To walk away from acres and say, I'm just going to, you know, take my check, crop insurance. Boy, there's a lot of question marks in this game this year.
Oh, yeah. You know, here, this one just came in from at A.E. Pork. At A.E. Pork asks great questions, by the way, Eric. Seriously, really good questions. He says, do you think Pork will get an MFP payment again? I don't know if it's going to be an MFP payment. And how would you even calculate it with ASF? See, that's the thing, guys. How do you even calculate what the payment should be? And Eric's talking about pork, but how do you calculate it for corn, for soybeans, when Chinese demand may have been lower anyway because of the problems that they're having? This is a monumental task trying to figure out how it should all be compensated, Jared.
Well, I hope that they actually call the corn people this year. That would be the first thing that would be nice.
Yes.
you know, you don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but at the same time, that the penny didn't go a long ways in the corn pockets last year. So there's that.
No, that turned into a pizza on a Friday night for a lot of guys. So,
or the tip on the pizza for Friday night. One of the two.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Jared, you mentioned this cattle market. If we could get it turned around, you'd feel like you were holding the golden ticket. What's it going to take?
I think you're going to have to actually see real, you know, real imports going to places that are going to be short protein. I mean, we've seen the numbers. We've seen the drastic pictures of what's happening to animals. And I think it's just a matter of when the hard data starts showing up that yes, product is moving. I think that's what everybody's waiting on is they've been burnt too many times chasing headlines, and it's almost now we've swung back to the other extreme. Now we're like, no, we're not believing anything. No matter how real it might be, it's completely discounted to me and the market until something actually starts moving.
Right, Right, exactly. Jared, what do you make of the RCAF class action suit against the Packers?
Well, I think concentration in your packing industry is obviously a problem, but yep. You know, is more regulation going to solve that? No. I mean, at the end of the day, having more packing plants is what's going to get us where we need to be. And, you know, they're running the business too. You know, they can't, if I was in that business and I had a way to make more money, I'd get kind of pissed if someone was trying to sue me. So I can, you know, I can see their point in a lot of that stuff. But, yeah. You know, there's frustration, and I think that frustration gets vented with silly things like lawsuits. And that, you know, that doesn't do any good. It's as crazy as thinking you're going to change the world by suing people for using Roundup. You know, it's all in the same thing, in my opinion.
Right, right. And we had a caller call in. He wanted to know why cattle or beef isn't mentioned when we talk about MFP, the Market Facilitation Program payments. It's because we don't send a lot of beef into China, and that is the primary focus. But, Rock, there are those out there that say, listen, if you're going to do a payment, take into account the lost beef exports into Mexico, the trade with Canada. Take all that into consideration. That's a big ask, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. It's a tangled web, Chip. And anyway, one thing I'd like to mention, back to corn, is I would like to thank you for the awareness you've brought to the corn industry about the waivers that big oil has pushed with these refineries.
Yeah.
You know, bringing awareness for them.
Yeah, and we're waiting. We continue to await word on that. And I feel, Rock, the longer that we have to wait for word on it, the worse the news is going to be.
Perhaps. We can only hope.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Rock, it was good to talk with you again, buddy. Good luck to you. I hope things straighten out for you.
Well, Mother Nature control that. And like you say, the big thing is we have to stay safe. So thanks for the opportunity to be on. Yep.
You bet. You bet. That is Rock Ketchnig, Prophetstown, Illinois area. And Jared McDaniel. Jared, it was fun to talk with you again, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
You bet. That is Jared McDaniel down in the panhandle of Oklahoma. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. Thanks to Doug Hensley for joining us, talking about land values. You got to come back this afternoon. Dwayne Faber, DFaber84 on Twitter. He's a dairy farmer from Washington. He's going to be joining me for a conversation with Alyssa Badger from High Ground Dairy.
Use Radiate to give back to your crop's roots and pay it forward for generations to come. Radiate is the only root stimulant that can drive maximum root growth in all crops while growing the roots of all the young future farmers of America across the country. By using Radiate on your farm, you're helping Nutrient Ag Solutions give back to FFA and give back to the roots our crops and communities are built on. Ask your Nutrient Ag Solutions crop consultant for details about Radiate's give back program or learn more at RadiateRoots.com. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
Every season, you try to raise the bar to achieve your best soybean yield ever. But frog eye leaf spot, brown spot, aerial blight, and white mold can get in your way. New DeLauro fungicide will help you fight them. DeLauro delivers unmatched preventative and curative defense against yield-robbing diseases, so your varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve personal best yields. Keep raising the bar with DeLauro from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.